1 Kings 20 through 1 Kings 21. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his army, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, and fought against it. Then he sent messengers to the city of Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, "This is what Ben-Hadad says, your silver and your gold are mine, your most beautiful wives and children are also mine." And the king of Israel replied, "As you say, my lord, O king, I am yours as well as all that I have." Then the messengers returned and said, "Ben-Hadad says this, I did indeed send word to you, saying, you shall give me your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children. But about this time tomorrow, I will send my servants to you, and they will search your house and the houses of your servants, and they will take in their hands everything that is pleasing to your eyes, and take it all away." Then the king of Israel summoned all the elders of the land and said, "Please be aware, and see that this man is looking for trouble, for he sent me his demand for my wives, my children, my silver, and my gold, and I did not refuse him." Then all the elders and all the people said to him, "Do not listen nor consent." So he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, "Tell my lord the king, everything that you sent as a demand to your servant at the first I will do, but this thing I cannot do." Then the messengers departed, and brought him word again. Ben-Hadad sent word to him and said, "May the gods do so to me and more so, if the dust of Samaria will be enough for the handfuls for all the people who follow me." Then the king of Israel replied, "Tell him, he who straps on his weapons had better not boast like one who takes them off." And when Ben-Hadad heard this message while he was drinking with the kings in the temporary shelters, he said to his servants, "Take your positions." So they took their positions against the city. Now behold, a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, and said, "This is what the Lord says. Have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I am going to hand them over to you today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." But Ahab said, "By whom?" So he said, "The Lord says this, by the young men of the leaders of the provinces." Then he said, "Who will begin the battle?" And he said, "You will." So he mustered the young men of the leaders of the provinces, and there were 232. And after them he mustered all the people, all the sons of Israel, 7,000. They went out at noon, while Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the temporary shelters with the 32 kings who were helping him. The young men of the leaders of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out scouts, and they reported to him, saying, "Men have come out from Samaria." Then he said, "If they have come out for peace, take them alive, or if they have come out for war, take them alive as well." So these men went out from the city, the young men of the leaders of the provinces, and the army which followed them, and they killed each one his man. And the Arameans fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, escaped on a horse with horsemen. The king of Israel also went out and struck the horses and chariots, and killed the Arameans in a great slaughter. Then the prophet approached the king of Israel and said to him, "Go, show yourself courageous, and be aware, and see what you have to do. For at the turn of the year, the king of Aram will march against you." Now the servants of the king of Aram said to him, "Their gods are gods of the mountains. For that reason, they were stronger than we. But let us fight them in the plain, and we will certainly be stronger than they. Carry out this plan. Remove the kings, each from his place, and put governors in their place, and muster an army like the army you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain, and we will certainly be stronger than they." And he listened to their voice and did so. So at the turn of the year, Ben-Hadad mustered the Arameans and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the sons of Israel were mustered and given provisions, and they went to meet them, and the sons of Israel camped opposite them like two little flocks of goats, while the Arameans filled the country. Then a man of God approached and spoke to the king of Israel, and said, "This is what the Lord says. Since the Arameans have said, 'The Lord is a God of mountains,' but he is not a God of valleys, therefore I will hand over to you all this great multitude, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So they camped one opposite the other for 7 days, and on the 7th day the battle was joined, and the sons of Israel killed of the Arameans 100,000 foot soldiers in a single day. But the rest fled to Aphek, going into the city. And the wall fell on 27,000 men who were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, going from one inner room to the other. But his servants said to him, "Behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Please, let's put sackcloth around your waist and ropes on our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will let you live." So they put sackcloth around their waists and ropes on their heads, and came to the king of Israel, and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad says, 'Please, let me live.'" And Ahab said, "Is he still alive? He is my brother." Now the men took this as a good omen, and quickly accepting it from him, they said, "Your brother Ben-Hadad." Then he said, "Go bring him." Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he had him mount the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said to him, "The cities which my father took from your father I will restore, and you can make streets for yourself in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria." Ahab said, "And I will let you go with this covenant." So he made a covenant with him and let him go. Now a man from the sons of the prophets said to another by the word of the Lord, "Please strike me." But the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, "Because you have not listened to the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you leave me, a lion will kill you." And as soon as he left him, a lion found him and killed him. Then he found another man and said, "Please strike me." And the man struck him, injuring him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road, and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. And as the king passed by, he cried out to the king, and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man to me, and said, 'Guard this man. If for any reason he goes missing, then your life shall be forfeited in place of his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' Now, while your servant was busy here and there, he disappeared." And the king of Israel said to him, "So shall your judgment be. You yourself determined it." Then he quickly took the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him, that he was one of the prophets. And the prophet said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Since you have let go from your hand the man I had designated for destruction, your life shall be forfeited in place of his, and your people in place of his people." So the king of Israel went to his house sullen and furious, and came to Samaria. Now it came about after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, so that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is close beside my house, and I will give you a better vineyard in place of it. If you prefer, I will give you what it is worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid me that I would give you the inheritance of my fathers." So Ahab entered his house sullen and furious because of the answer that Naboth the Jezreelite had given him, since he said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed, and turned his face away, and ate no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him, and said to him, "How is it that your spirit is so sullen that you are not eating food?" So he said to her, "It is because I was speaking to Naboth the Jezreelite, and saying to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you a vineyard in place of it.' But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said to him, Do you now reign over Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let your heart be joyful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and to the nobles who were living with Naboth in his city. Now she had written in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and seat Naboth at the head of the people, and seat two worthless men opposite him, and have them testify against him, saying, You cursed God and the king. Take him out and stone him to death. So the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in his city, did just as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters which she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast, and seated Naboth at the head of the people. Then the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him. And the worthless men testified against him, against Naboth, before the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent word to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab got up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. And you shall speak to him, saying, This is what the Lord says. Have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, The Lord says this, In the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, yours as well. Then Ahab said to Elijah, Have you found me, enemy of mine? And he answered, I have found you, because you have given yourself over to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I am bringing disaster upon you, and I will utterly sweep you away. And will eliminate from Ahab every male, both bond and free, in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger, and because you have misled Israel into sin. The Lord has also spoken of Jezebel, saying, The dogs will eat Jezebel in the territory of Jezreel. The one belonging to Ahab, who dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and the one who dies in the field, the birds of the sky will eat. There certainly was no one like Ahab, who gave himself over to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife incited him. He also acted very despicably in following idols, conforming to everything that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord drove out from the sons of Israel. Yet it came about, when Ahab heard these words, that he tore his clothes, and put on sackcloth, and fasted, and he lay in sackcloth, and went about despondently. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring disaster in his days. I will bring disaster upon his house in his son's days. John 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who had been blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must carry out the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spit on the ground and made mud from the saliva, and applied the mud to his eyes, and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he left and washed, and came back, seeing. So the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." The man himself kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought the man who was previously blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath on the day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied mud to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was dissension among them. So they said again to the man who was blind, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it about him, that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight, and they questioned them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents then answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already reached the decision that if anyone confessed him to be the Christ, he was to be excommunicated from the synagogue. It was for this reason that his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind, and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They spoke abusively to him, and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered, and said to them, "Well, here is the amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if someone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and yet you are teaching us?" So they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out. And upon finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered by saying, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "I believe, Lord." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Those who were with him from the Pharisees heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you maintain, 'We see,' your sin remains." Revelation 10. I saw another strong angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little scroll, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea, and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven, saying, Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will no longer be a delay, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again, speaking with me, saying, Go, take the scroll which is open in the hand of the angel, who stands on the sea and on the land. And I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, Take it, and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the scroll from the angel's hand, and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, You must prophesy again, concerning many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Proverbs 27:23-27. Know well the condition of your flocks, and pay attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field, and there will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and sustenance for your attendants. Psalm 138. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and give thanks to your name for your mercy and your truth. For you have made your word great according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth, and they will sing the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord, for the Lord is exalted. Yet he looks after the lowly, but he knows the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will reach out with your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your faithfulness, Lord, is everlasting. Do not abandon the works of your hands.